So, you
For
know,
how long?
he got in trouble down in the Dominican Republic, and he's been using a fake name and everything else, like so many other Dominican players do. You know, we talked about that a little bit last time. Let me
I
look up
think he's
his thing.
back, dude. I think he's going to be okay. I was watching some stuff on them earlier, and they weren't mentioning that he was going to be like missing any time because of it. They were talking about how, you know, he needed to really step up for them this year, and he's not the same guy that he used to be with the, you know, the same amount of heat, but you know, he's still got a lot of good stuff. I know they got Derek Lowe now too. How long is Lowe, this is this Lowe's first year on there? Man, I take 1 year off from fantasy baseball, and it's like I'm lost, dude. I mean, I'm getting back in
Yeah,
all my leagues this year. I
I gotta
emailed my
get you.
buddy yesterday and told him, like, listen, I need to get back in all the leagues because I'm lost right now.
I gotta get you in my leagues this year. But you know, yeah, I am always playing. Well, it says right here they put him on the restricted list right now,
Oh, really?
because yeah, he got arrested with for using a false identity, because his real name is Roberto Hernandez Heredia, and he's 3 years older than what he reported. So I mean, you know, here you think you have a pitcher that's, 28 years old, and he's actually 31. You know, so I mean,
It
what a
keeps
difference,
happening.
huh?
It keeps
Yeah.
happening. And we've talked about this and what
Yep.
they need to do. And they need to do something locally, is what you said, right? I mean, at the local,
That's the only thing
what,
I
like the
think.
local baseball camps? I mean, the leagues? What is it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's the only thing they can do is take over. They have these those camps or academies. They're baseball academies where you go and you play, for a few months. You go and live there type thing. I think that they have to start there, because that's where, you know, the corruption starts, like everything else. It's just like, say here at like the AAU level or whatever. You know, it starts when they're young, so.
Yeah. Well, now they're talking about Manny might go to the Orioles. Manny, I
Yep.
mean, the guy, when he comes back, he's going to have to serve a 50-game suspension already. I wouldn't waste the time with the guy now after what he did to the Dodgers.
I know.
I don't think he's worth it. I mean, he's not. He's and now, I mean, he's even older, guy. I mean, I wouldn't
The
even take the flyer on him right now. He's a headache.
only thing I would do is, if I was a shaky if I was a team out there that had nothing to lose, say like a team like Baltimore, I would give him a performance-based thing, top heavy. Say, hey, if you reach if you're you know if you're only going to be eligible to play 140 or 100 sorry 100 and 110 games. So I mean, if you're only going to play 100 games, if you hit, say, 15 home runs, we'll give you $2 million. If you hit or if you hit 30, 25 home runs, we'll give you $5 million, something like that. Because he's been out of baseball for 2 years. He got caught using PEDs.
Twice.
Yeah, so I mean, what good is it? I mean, maybe take a shot at him if you're a team. I would think that a team would take a shot at him that maybe is going to be in the running for it, so that maybe later in the year they can get a guy that can blast left-handed pitching off the bench type thing.
You know who the GM is down there, right? In Baltimore? It's Dan Duquette, the guy that signed him to the huge deal in Boston.
Okay, yeah, we had his brother
Yeah, and
as DM for a while.
he even made a statement that you know, he's not they're not sure what they want to do yet, because when you take a guy like Manny Ramirez into the clubhouse, it makes it this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, wow, he's already bad mouthing him, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's true, man. At least that's, you know, that's what they say. You know, down in the end, it was getting, you know, he wasn't that nice to have around the last year, I guess.
Well, at least you guys are starting a new run over in Boston with Bobby V.
Dude, I like the move, but I'm so pissed about getting rid of Tito. But I'm glad they got
Yeah.
Bobby V. If you know what's done is done. I think they made a good move getting Bobby V. I can't imagine why they got rid of Francona. I understand we collapsed, but it was 1 year. The guy's been here and won two titles, dude. I think they should have gave it a run with Francona without Theo. You know, get rid of Theo and keep Francona is what I think they should have done.
Yeah, I don't see why you get rid of both, because it's not like you have something inherently wrong there. And if Theo's, pretty much already, he wanted to go to Chicago anyway. You could have just got rid of him and then kept Tito, or vice versa. But I think, I don't know, maybe they just want to put a whole new face on the team, so they're, It's hard to figure out though, but you know, you have both guys that were part of you know, the best years Boston's had in a long time. So I mean, I don't know. It's
I thought he's the best manager we ever had.
Yeah, it makes you wonder. How would you feel about this? There's rumors going around that the Yankees are looking at Johnny Damon, Raul Ibanez, or Hideki Matsui for a left-handed bat off the bench.
Well, I mean, how am I supposed to feel about it? They're gonna do it. It's not like we're gonna go and block him on one of those moves. I don't see the Red Sox doing it. Ibanez, I'm a little, you know, I think that'd be a good move for them. But at this stage, Johnny Damon, I don't know. I mean, how was Johnny Damon last year? I know he's held up a lot better than the Red Sox thought he would. They should have never got rid of him. That was a big mistake. We had a big hole at the top of the order forever. We had a leadoff hitter by committee out in Boston for a few years after Johnny left. And you know what? Yeah, his arm sucked, but he held up.
He throws like a girl.
He does. But he has a great glove, and he was a good leadoff hitter, man. And he was clutch. That guy was clutch.
I agree.
He's a clutch player.
I think if you get a guy like Damon, I think, you know, what you would do with him is DH him or DH him or teach him to play first base at this point in his career. But you know what? I don't understand why the Red Sox didn't
That's
re-sign
him. With the Red Sox, buddy, they have good players. They don't re-sign their own good players, guys that have proven they can come through in the clutch, in the big market, in the spotlight, and then they go after big-name free agents that go It's unbelievable. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
Johnny Damon's a perfect example of that. I mean, they didn't want to pay him $15 million. So they wanted to pay him $12.5 million for 4 years. So he left over $2.5 million a year to go to the Yankees. I mean, come on. Pony up the dough. The guy was clutch, and we had no backup plan. I mean, our backup – I don't even remember what our backup plan was. We were bouncing everybody in and out of the
I feel playing backup. I'm not sure your backup plan. Who was it? Did you have a young outfielder at the time? I'm trying to think.
I don't even remember. We were batting people that weren't even fast in the leadoff spot at all. They were just different people. We were bouncing everybody around, dude. It was leadoff by committee, closer by committee, everything by committee.
I'll tell you what. I think that you guys have improved your bullpen this year a lot. And you know, Papelbon has been shaky a little bit. He had some great years, you guys, but last couple of years he was a little shaky.
Oh, he's definitely not the lights out guy that he was.
No, he's definitely not at all. I think that if anything, there's talk too of Oswald not being able to get the money he was looking for. So you know, maybe the Sox are looking at him. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I've seen some stuff pop back up that it might be back on. So that'd be good. That man. I've always liked Oswald. I know he hasn't been as great as of late, but man, I think maybe a change of scenery for him and to be in a good competing market and to be in the AL East. I think he's a guy that might really step up for us.
Yeah, he's a guy that's gonna pitch. You know, 28. He's gonna get 28-30 games. You know, 3.50 ERA maybe at the worst. I don't see him being worse than that because. You know, in the past few years, even he was good with the Phillies. So, I mean, it's not like he's, you know, I don't see him being bad. I don't see him being a John Lackey. I think that, if anything, you know, maybe health issues, but he's still going to pitch 27 to 30 games, I see. You know, so yeah. I think you sign him to a one-year deal.
I would love it, dude. I always loved Oswald. He's one of those guys that, you know, you always pick him in the game and pitch with him and stuff. I always love that guy. The Lackey deal is one of the worst deals ever. $19 million they're paying that guy.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like try being a Mets fan after you give Oliver Perez the deal that we gave him. You know,
Manaea had his head so far up his ass. What was up with that guy, man? I mean,
it seemed like Manaea was trying to make this dream team of all Spanish players, and you know,
they were just over the hill though. They were just past their prime, most of them, like Pedro and. Even how's Johan been? Be honest with me. He's not been the dominant guy. He was in the AL, right? Grabbed him right.
No, he hasn't. He had a good year with us, and then he had a good year and a half, and he's been injured. So I mean, you know, I'll get up his stats for you. So we'll let the stats do the talking.
The Sox made the right move on Pedro. He's the one that they did let go at the right time.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Pedro, at the time they were able to, he was a guy that really,
He hit the wall hard, dude,
yeah,
2004.
he was done.
He was done. You could see it. And he got through the season, and thank God we had Schilling to be the one in 1A, and we got and won that World Series with him. But it wasn't because of Pedro. But he was definitely a big part of it. Don't get me wrong. But he was done, and we knew it. And for
Yeah,
anybody to deny it and say we should have re-signed him, they're out of their minds. And when he
right.
came here, we rocked him, like 8 runs on him real quick in like 1 inning. Banged him right out, dude. It was
Actually,
crazy.
I'll tell you what. So you look at Yoan's stats at the Mets, and he's been pretty damn good.
Okay, I haven't really paid much attention to the Mets. I didn't know. I thought he had pretty much not done it as well, but he maybe he's yeah he's just been hurt.
He actually, hold on, let me.
But I mean, he was so dominant in the AL. I mean, he was the best pitcher, with the
Oh,
exception of Halliday, probably. You know,
yeah, by
because that
far,
was
definitely.
one of them too. You know. Oh, there's a
Yeah.
lot of guys that up for arbitration. And I mean, look at Lindskom asked for $21.5 million in arbitration.
Yeah, well, there's a thing there where they have a guy, they have him and Matt Cain, and both of them could confront a rotation for the next, few years. And I think your best move is to keep both of them. And you have other guys like Madison Bumgarner, and they have a lot of positives on that San Francisco team. And it's almost like you wish that they would actually almost not if not that I like them, but if I was their fan, I would say spend a little bit more money. But of course they're gonna get their catcher back this year. What the hell's his name? Not Sandoval. Sandoval's the third baseman. Wow, I mean you're out of baseball. Hold on, I'll look that up in a second. But I want to give you actually Pedro's. Johan's stats of the Mets. His first year with the Mets, he was 16-7 with a 2.53 ERA. So next year with the Mets, he was 13-9 with a 3.13 ERA, and then in 2010, he was
Yeah, but
11 and.
that's not the dominant guy he was over here. 13-9 in the National League after leaving the AL. You would expect him to be more, way better than that.
Well, but he was he 25. That was the thing. He got hurt. He got hurt. Had a 3.13 ERA though, and then 2010 he was 11-9 with a 2.98 ERA. So I mean, it's not that, he's the thing is he wasn't the strikeout pitcher that he was, and he got injured. Two years, two you know, and he missed a full year last year. So,
Yeah.
I think that he's still gonna come back, and I think he's gonna be a. Like a 11-9 pitcher again, maybe pitch 28, 30 games and 3.50 ERA at the worst. I think he's still, for the Mets, he's not a bad deal considering we have such a pitcher's park. I don't know. I can see the Mets at the best really reaching for a wild card this year. I know it sounds unrealistic, but for some reason I have a feeling with them. I don't know. I just think that. The years that we had those good teams and choked, it's almost like, now we have a young team and we have some egos going. The only thing I don't like about it is that we have no speed. Team speed, has always been something that, the Mets have used to win, play National League ball and squeak out these bunts and runs and everything. But we do have a lot of line drive hitters. I don't know. It's a tough time to be a Mets fan. I'm just trying to look for the positives here, really. But it's the thing. Every year is it's you know it's like they say every given Sunday. It's just like baseball. Every given spring, you come back. You have that thing of even though this off season we didn't make many moves. The only thing we did was we tightened up our rotation. I mean not our rotation, our bullpen. But yet we're getting a few guys back from injury, and and hopefully maybe a few guys can possibly turn it up a little bit, and if that's the case, then there's always that surprise team every year, so you're never out of it in baseball. But it's just it does suck when your team really doesn't make any big splashes, for the fans during a an off season like this where you have so many guys going around. And you can't even go and make an offer on a couple of these pitchers or something,
Now, what's the deal with your area and Mets fans? Is there a lot there, or I thought it was mostly it was split between Red Sox and Yankees, but now is it partly Mets, or how's that dynamic work?
It's like this. I'd say it's probably, I'd probably say if you divided it into 100, you probably have 5% of people that don't like, that like out of town teams, 15% Mets, and then probably I don't know, 30% Red Sox, 40, 45% Yankees, give or take, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a sizable Mets crowd, but no, there's more Yankees and Red Sox fans, definitely, by far.
That's so
But
weird
you
how it's split.
yeah, oh yeah, it's insane down here. We're in the belly of the beast, 'cause right about New London, which is probably about 30 miles to the east of us, is like the splitting point. And if you go up North Connecticut, they're all Boston fans. But right here from like where I am, which is, New Haven to in West, it's more New York fans. So I mean, but it's really, you get to Eastern Connecticut, and they actually sound like somewhat like you guys. They have the more of the Rhode Island accent. So, it's a funny world, but right here is, it's the middle of the rivalries. We see them all right here. It's kind of a good place to live. To see all this. These great games that go on between them all. And the thing is, we get as a home channel, I get SNY for the Mets, I get Yes for the Yankees, and I get NESN for the Red Sox. And it's like that for all for every sport. I get to watch the Boston teams, and if my buddy's over that's a Boston fan, we'll watch the Boston game. And if my you know if if so I mean, and I'll switch back and forth to the Mets or whatever. But it's like that around here. So it's
That
just
must be
pretty
good, man, to
insane.
have all those options, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. Most of it is down the lines of who your father liked. The reason why there's so many New York Giants fans around here, though, is because the Giants played at Yale for a while during the 70s.
Man, the
So, I mean,
Patriots was so bad. That's
right.
why
Well,
there's Gi
also,
there's actually Giants fans up here because of that. The Patriots was so bad, the games used to get blacked out on TV.
wow. Well, another reason too, because I have a like my best friend. His family's from Providence originally, and so he's a Boston fan for every sport except for football. He's a Giants fan. So, but the reason why is because I guess New England didn't have a pro team for a while. Back when his grandfather picked the team, so his father, him, they've been Giants fans on the line. But every other sport, he's Boston. So I
That's
mean,
crazy.
it's yeah, and here's how it goes for New York, real quick. I'll just let you know. For New York, it's like this: if you live in Queens or Long Island, you're gonna be a Mets and Jets fan usually, because the Jets played in Long Island for a while. They practice in Long Island at Ithaca, I think it is, or no, Ithaca's upstate. Sorry, but they practice in New Long Island, at Hofstra. The Giants practice at Ithaca, but anyway, yeah. So and then the Giants fans are usually, New Haven area, but then of course, Connecticut, but then you also have back New York, New Jersey, Jets and Giants. I'd probably at least 60-40 Giants over Jets, but then in baseball, it's a totally different dynamic. There's nowhere near as many Mets as there is Jets fans,
Yeah. Yep. Well, I know it's funny because I have another buddy. He's in our group, and he's a Mets and a Giants fan too. He's from New York, but yeah, he likes the teams the same as you, Giants and Mets. It's not the Yankees and the Jets, you know.
Right.
I think they're out more, I think towards Manhattan, but I'm not sure. I'm not really sure where his family's from, but
Well, here's how the boroughs go real quick. Brooklyn and Queens is usually more Mets, and then Bronx and Staten Island is Yankees, and then of course Manhattan is probably more Yankees, or goes with the flow where, wherever you're from. Not many people are from Manhattan, More
Yeah.
people are from, the other boroughs. More probably more Yankees fans in Lower East Side or whatever, but
I wanted to
semantics
mention
anyway.
a little bit of basketball tonight too, just because there's a couple of milestones that are happening right now. Something locally with my team and something on you know with the Lakers. Kobe Bryant has moved into fifth place now, passing Shaquille O'Neal on the all-time list for scoring. I know you kind of wanted to talk about that tonight, Justin, and maybe we
Yeah.
could talk a little bit about, Kobe's legacy and maybe where he stands all time.
I think Kobe, you gotta look at him and you gotta say, here's a guy that's one of the best scorers of all time. You look at it and Shaq actually said, that they were the most dynamic duo. However, I don't agree with him, and actually Kobe didn't agree with him. Kobe said, me and him aren't exactly Scottie Pippen and Jordan. We're more like if you put Jordan with Wilt, because they're more both ball hogs kind of thing. And that's true, and I would say there's definitely a few other, they're probably top three or four duos of all time. It also makes you wonder, where does Kobe rank among like the Lakers, of all time?
Well, here's my thing, real quick. When people want to compare people to Jordan, Kobe is not better than Jordan. He's not equal to Jordan. Even if he gets a sixth ring, or maybe even a seventh, he's not. One of the reasons is, and this is a good reason, guys. And when you wanted to get into all-time discussions about all-time greats, there's been a lot of years where Kobe Bryant has not been the clear-cut best player in the league. There's been years where it's between Kobe and McGrady. There were years where it was between Kobe and Duncan. There were years when it wasn't even Kobe, it was Duncan and Garnett. And there's been years when it's been Kobe and LeBron. So and I'm not saying he's not a great player, but Jordan was always clearly the best player in the league by far. I mean, maybe not by far, but always clearly the best player in the league. And I do believe if he didn't retire for those 2 years, he would have won eight titles in a row, okay? Because he won three before and three right after, and he was just ridiculous nasty. Now, let's get past that, okay? I just want people, and I think most people would agree with me that Kobe Bryant is not as good as Michael Jordan. But you have
No,
those
he's not.
youngins out there that don't know better, and they think, just because
No.
of, and he's not. He's not. He's not as dot nobody. I don't think anybody in any sport has ever been as dominating. I mean, you could say the guy's probably been the best athlete we've ever seen. As far as in a team sport and willing them to win, and it was just ridiculous watching. You go back and watch some of the highlights of Michael Jordan, guys, and not the dunks, okay? Not just the dunks. Watch parts of the games, and you got this one image that sticks out in my mind, and it was in the finals, and I think it was against Utah the first time they played him, Justin. And there was a ball, okay? Pippen passed the ball, and it was going down the right sideline. It was about to go out of bounds. Jordan grabbed it with his right hand. There's a defender coming at him. He puts the ball behind the left side of his back, smokes the guy. Then he, goes under his leg and, just dunks it on something. It was just – he's so fast. He was
Jordan was unbelievable. He was an athlete. It was like mixing, Clyde Drexler. It was like mixing all the greats. It was like mixing Bird with Clyde Drexler and say Magic Johnson at the same
Yeah,
time.
and he took great pride in his defense.
unbelievable.
Great pride in his defense.
There'll never be another Michael Jordan. Like you could say, as good as Magic Johnson was, you could say, hey, LeBron is pretty much, in the same image as him.
No,
But
I
look
don't.
at him.
I no, no, no. I put Magic
No?
Johnson right after Michael Jordan. He is so nasty, dude. I mean, really. And you want to
Well,
talk about all around players? I think Magic Johnson, all around player, might be. I mean, wow, man. I don't put LeBron on his level. I mean, the skill set
here's.
might be kind of similar or something. Well, the build maybe, but no, he's
Well,
not.
how
No
about
way.
how? But here's the thing. Here's a guy that's not from our generation, but you got to look at it too, is Oscar Robertson. That if you want to look down that
Well,
line
yeah,
of.
maybe that, but Magic Johnson came into the league in his first year. He won a title, and he won five titles in that decade, going against teams like the Celtics. That's not LeBron James. Magic Johnson, okay? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar got hurt. Magic Johnson, in his rookie year, came from point guard and went and played center
But
in the
center,
finals.
I know.
Okay, I mean, that's not LeBron James.
You're
He
right.
is not Magic Johnson. He can't hold Magic Johnson's jockstrap. He has the skill set to be one of the best ever, but he hasn't proven it yet. He's yet to come through in the clutch, and he's had his chances, and he's on a great team. I mean, he's with Dwayne Wade now, a guy that's already won a title. And personally, Dwayne Wade, besides Paul Pierce, because Paul Pierce is on my home team, Dwayne Wade's been my favorite player in the league since he's come in the league.
I think the Heat are a laughing stock considering, what they did to get those three players, Bosh, Wade and LeBron, but yet they left they don't have any bench at all. And the fact that, you know, it just shows that you can take three of the best five players in the league and you're still not going to, you know, win a championship if you don't have, you know, any depth. And that was the difference between a few years ago when the NBA got really bad a few years ago. And you were able to do that with, you know, the Kobe Shaq years. But now you have all these teams that have depth, you know, and it's not as easy to do that. And I don't see it happening anymore. We're usually you would say two is enough to get it done, but three is not enough to get it done if you don't play like a team, you know, and that just shows. I hate watching a team of ball hogs, and that's what Miami's like. You know, as good as they are, you have three guys that want to score on every play, and it doesn't work.
No, it never has.
What do you think about the injuries that just happened? Chauncey Billups is out for a year.
There's a lot of injuries tonight.
Yeah, Chauncey Billups is ACL injury.
Derrick Rose, too.
Yep.
Yeah, and Billups is done for the year.
Also, Gallinari. Billups might be done for his career. And look what that did to the Clippers, the way they were playing with Chris Paul playing the one and Billups playing the two. I think he really, you know, took some pressure off of Paul and was, you know, the big shooter. So I think the Clippers have to be, you know, they're not as big as the championship favorite as they were, you know.
Oh, absolutely not. Chauncey Billups is a good, solid point guard, and you know you see him do it with Detroit. He's definitely right. A guy that can help take you to a championship. I think that hurts them big time, and I think a lot of this has to do with the way the season and all these guys are playing back to back games and playing three games in five nights and all this crap. I think the schedule, even though it's a shorter schedule, it's a much tougher schedule because they're not getting the rest that they have in the past that they used to, and I bet you that has a lot to do with these injuries that are coming out.
Well, you know what? I think that if anything, that's why more of a reason to build a team. You know, more of a reason to go
spread
and,
it out.
You know, look at the Celtics, you know, when they had it a couple of years ago. When you had Shaq, but you also had, what was his name? Kendrick Perkins. You know, you had him, you know, so you could split them and, you know, you weren't playing these guys each 35 minutes a night. You know, they're each playing, you know, 25 minutes and both in the court for a little while. And they had Garnett out there too. You know, so, I mean, I think that's what you got to do. You got to have seven guys, you know, and maybe your two young guys can run like that. But, you know, you have to have seven guys nowadays to win the NBA. It's packed. See, for a few years, when the guys were just coming out of college and, you know, I'd say from like 2000 to like 2004 or five.
High school? Coming out of high
school. Coming out of high school. Since they made the rule that you have to be 20 years old, you look at it now, and the talent is actually getting back up in the NBA nowadays. It was really bad for a while, and you saw guys that didn't deserve to be big scorers turning into huge
scorers.
Oh,
but you had to play them because you just had to because there's not like a minor league to play these guys, to develop them properly. And so they were getting playing time when they probably shouldn't have, and you were seeing crappy basketball.
I'd like to see them, you know, that's why I would like to see a minor league system set up in a lot of sports. You know, I think that a lot of times you have guys that are ruined because of it. Think of how many guys, even in the NFL, you know, you look at these quarterbacks that come up, and if they even had a you know, some type of NFL Europe type league, you know, to let them get a shot. I don't even think they do anymore. Have an affiliate league where you can go and watch these guys. You know, like in baseball, you have a million things. You have the Arizona Fall League. You have the Dominican and Venezuela Winter Leagues. You know, and baseball is a game you have to stay sharp all year long. Football, I guess you don't, but still. I think it'd be better to watch these guys up and coming too. Now it's just college to the pros. You know, I think that it would be more interesting to see. You know,
dude, I'm all for it, dude. I've talked about this before. I mean, yeah, I've never understood why. I guess they got that D League, but that's not really. I don't know. That's not like a minor league, like the baseball setup. You know what I mean? Right. It's not. They do need to do something like that. But like you said, what they've been doing has been working. We'll give it some more time, and maybe it'll just totally work itself out. And you know, it does seem like the league's getting better. The there's a lot of parity in the league right now. I mean, it's getting to the point where
you remember
it's like the NFL.
You remember for a few years though, it was just like Dallas. Dallas and
Dallas, the league is in San Antonio.
exactly in the West every year, and then it was everybody else would be in the doghouse, you know. And then in the
And the
East you would
East is
have,
awful.
yeah, you'd have the Nets, the and you know
And like
Pistons,
whoever. Yeah, the
the
Pistons was
Pistons were
about
winning
it. Yeah.
then, yep.
Yeah,
And, you
it
know,
was
but.
awful. Now it's good. I mean, look at you got Boston, Orlando, Miami, Chicago, all in the East.
Right.
And then in the West, you got, the Lakers and San Antonio and Dallas and then the Clippers and Phoenix and you got all these teams out there. It's much different now. It is getting better. You got Oklahoma City with Kevin Durant. I mean, he's really good.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's
Durant's
really,
awesome.
really, really he's so good, so
I think
good.
Durant and Blake Griffin are two of my favorite to watch now, you know, out of the
Yeah,
young guys.
he's so nice to watch him shoot, man. It really is. It really is. One thing I wanted to talk about tonight is Paul Pierce. Now, Paul Pierce, and I've been on the radio show, so I wasn't watching TV, obviously. But he only needed 9 points to pass Larry Bird tonight on the Celtics all-time scoring list. I think that's a pretty big achievement. Now, nobody here is ever going to tell you he's better than Larry Bird, and I'm not saying that. He obviously has a longer career, but honestly, at this point right now, he's only been in the league a year longer than Bird. Bird played 13 years. Pierce is in his 14th year. He's passing him in points, and this is a guy that I think he's been very underrated his whole career. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a homer. I've watched this guy a lot, and this guy is an
Paul Pierce is
all-around
quality.
player. He is the
He is.
complete package when it comes to basketball. He plays defense. He can rebound. The ball handling is probably his biggest weakness, but he's not bad at it. He's a good passer, and he's a great scorer. And when they needed him to
Yeah.
score a lot, when they didn't have anybody, there was a year that he just got beat out by Shaq at 28 and a half points a game. So, I mean, the guy can light it up, and he's been clutch. You seen what he did in the finals against the Lakers, the three-pointers. This is a guy that I every time he hasn't been a
Hey,
starter
Brian,
on the All-Star
quickly.
team, I've been insulted. Go ahead.
He did pass Larry Bird. He got 15 points tonight.
Nice.
So yeah, he passed him out. Yeah, I think you can't say he's better than Larry Legend, but I have to
No,
agree
never,
that
never.
you have to put him among the Celtics greats, though, definitely. I know Pierce, you know, just from watching all these years, he's always been a guy that, you know, you don't. He's the truth, you know, like his nickname. He's a guy you do not want him with the ball, you know, with the last shot of a three pointer. You don't want it. He's going to hit it most of the time. He's also been really good at the charity stripe his whole career. I remember in Kansas when he was coming up.
That's
So
the thing. He hit more than Bird. He's got like 900 more free throws than Bird or something.
wow. So you
Yeah.
know, and Bird was an 85, 90%
And
shooter
thousand
lifetime.
more three-pointers or something like that.
Yeah,
Imagine that.
wow.
You wouldn't have thought that, would you?
No, that's crazy. I
Go
remember
ahead, buddy. I
Pierce.
didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No problem. I remember. See, I'm a UConn fan. In college hoops this year, we're not doing that great. But coming up, I remember one year we played Kansas and they blew us out. And Paul Pierce had a you know an awesome game. That was like they had Paul Pierce, Ralph LaFrance, you know all those guys, and you know he came out. You know he's been one of the best. You know, and he's done it year in and year out. He's one of the best, you know, threes there is. You know, one of the best shooting. I'll put him up there of all time behind, you know, behind Drexler and Reggie Miller. I'd say he's up there. You know, or maybe even above Reggie Miller, but up there with Drexler.
Yeah, he's a great player, man. And the thing is, you get these other big name guys that come in here. Like every time LeBron has come into Boston to play, Paul Pierce plays him great, dude. He plays great defense on him. He matches him for points. You know what I mean? LeBron usually gets more rebounds, but he really steps his game up, man. I mean, he's been a great player. I think he's been underrated his whole career. There's been times that he hasn't started in the All-Star game, and guys like Vince Carter have started over him, and it's been a joke. Okay? Vince Carter can dunk. He's not a better ball player than Paul Pierce. That's a
No.
joke. He's not.
Yeah, no, not at all. And remember when Paul Pierce got stabbed up by
17 times.
By Benzino's crew, wasn't that at the
Made Men or some crap, right?
Yeah, Made Men. That was Benzino's rap group, right?
Yeah, they stabbed him like 17 times in Boston.
Yeah, Tony Battee saved him.
Unbelievable, and the guy comes back. How can you not love the guy, okay? And he never wants to leave Boston. He wants to retire a Celtic. And he always said, you know, if you just got him some help, or, well, he didn't say it, but you knew if you got him some help, and look what happened. They got Garnett and Allen, and boom, first year they won a title. And it was awesome, man. That parade was awesome.
I want to talk real quick some New York basketball. We got a surprise story. We got this kid, Lynn. Have you seen him?
Well, I haven't seen him, but all day on the radio I heard highlights of him. I heard about how he hit the three-pointer last night, and What's Jeremy Lin, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about him.
He's unbelievable. Carmelo just got hurt. So, I mean, you know, here's the thing is a guy that can take over the point and really, you know, maybe win some games while Melo's out. You know, that's a big thing for them because, you know, they really haven't had a point guard. You know, and he's played great, you know, the past few games. So, I mean, you know, he's exciting to watch. He's, you know, he's a hard-playing kid. Asian kid, of course. They're all hardworking. I'm just joking. But, you know, Harvard education, smart kid. You know, so I don't know. I think that, you know, it's something to be excited about, you know, if you're a Knicks fan going forward. And I think it's definitely going to make, you know, be a guy that is going to improve them a lot. And he's someone that, you know, nobody even really heard of. He was, you know, like he's an Ivy Leaguer, you know, so I mean, he was is he a rookie? He was a rookie last season with Golden State, and they grabbed him. But you know, he looks good. You know, I gotta say, I only saw highlights of him too, but you know, just from hearing them talk about him, you know, the kid looks like the real deal. And I mean, you know, we'll see. It takes more than 3 or 4 games to make a player, but you know, let's see what happens. You know, I don't know. And like I said, Carmelo's hurt, and Stoudemire's you know, been out with the death of his brother, and they ended up you know, beating the Nets 25 points he scored and 28 points he scored against the Jazz in his first NBA start. You know, so wow. I mean, you know, it's very possible. You know, rags to riches story.
Wow, that's crazy, huh? Coming from a guy that went to Ivy League school that was in there for his smarts and not really his basketball, I'm sure. And wow, that's pretty good, man. That's pretty good. Yeah, I've been hearing about him in the last day or so on the radio. You know, we started to talk about something, and we got a little bit off from it, and we were talking about Kobe and where you know you said where would he rank as far as the Lakers all time greats? Where would you put him? And I'll tell you where I would put him. Who would you put ahead of him or behind him?
Here's the deal. I think you got to go with Magic as the all-time best Laker. I think you do.
I agree.
I think you got to put Kobe second. I think you got to put Kareem third. And then after Kareem, you have guys like I think Worthy is farther down the list. I think Shaq is fourth. And then you have Jerry West. You got, you know, the guy that's they made the NBA logo out of. I'll say him fifth. And you know, you got, like I said, James Worthy. You know, what was the other? George Mikan is another guy, a center. You know, Elgin Baylor. You know, these are guys. It's a great franchise. So I mean, it's like saying, you know, who's the best Celtic, and you have a million guys. You know, that would be the greatest guy to come from any other franchise. You know, or it's like looking at the Yankees and saying, you know, who's the best. You know,
I agree with you, and the only thing is I would have to sit here and think about Kareem and Kobe and who would be two and who would be three, and I'd have to think about it long and hard, and I'd really have to go back and look at some things because Kareem was really, really, really good for a really long time.
He was really dominant.
I mean, he was really dominant, and I'd really have to go back and look at some things, and I think that's close, but I'm not disagreeing with you. I think you might have it right, but that's the only thing I might switch right there, but I would definitely put Magic number one, and I would definitely put Shaq four, and I would probably put Worthy, you know, maybe around six or seven. I would put West ahead of Worthy, yeah, but I think I might put Kareem ahead of Kobe. I'm not sure, though. I'd really have to think about that, and that's a tough one for me.
Yeah, it's I think that so far, I mean, just the points he scored, the championships he's won. I don't know, Kareem, I think only won one or two championships, didn't he? I don't know, I'll have to
I don't know how
look it
many
up.
championships he won with them. I thought he won like, man, I thought he won like four or five, and I know he had like six MVPs or something. He had five MVPs, and I thought he had five titles with them. He might not have, though. I might be wrong, but he got a couple in his later years in the early 80s. He got at least one with them, maybe two,
Yeah,
and whatever he got
and
earlier.
he got the one his rookie year. I know that. Or no, not his rookie year. I'm sorry. Magic's rookie year. That was his. Yeah, towards the end.
No, can I want to give you my
Go ahead.
I want to give you, because people like to talk about all-time teams, you
Six
know.
time, six time NBA champion, six time MVP. I
Yeah,
was way
see
off
that?
there.
Wow, that's a lot, huh?
Probably check this out. 19 time All Star.
Yeah, see, now wouldn't you have to look at the really hard now with him and Kobe?
Yeah, I agree, and
And the
also
finals MVP like every time. Not every time, a few times.
five time all defensive team, and you're looking at he played at the same time as Bill Russell, so I mean that's
Yeah, in the same position, he'd be matched up against him.
yeah exactly, and he
That's
also
pretty
played against
good.
Wilt. He
Pretty
played
good,
against
right?
Wilt. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's pretty damn good. I think he might be number two, but he might not be. But I think he edges out Kobe. I would go with I would go Magic, Kareem, and Kobe, and then Shaq, and then everything else kind of gets closer. And then Jerry West, and then Worthy. But I would think there might be some guys before Worthy that I just don't know as well, and I'm saying Worthy because I know Worthy better. And that's the thing I want to say. I'm going to give my starting five if I had an all-time basketball team, but it's only going to play players that have played in my lifetime. People that played in the 50s and 60s and the early 70s, I'm not going to include because I just don't think it's fair. I really can't compare. It's hard for me to do that. So if I was to have a starting five, it would be Magic Johnson as the point guard. It'd be Michael Jordan as the shooting guard. It'd be Larry Bird as the small forward. Now, at the power forward, this is where, this is a tough one for me. I really like Charles Barkley a lot,
I know who your other guy you're thinking of is
Well, there's
mail
Duncan and there's
the
Karl Malone.
Yeah, I was gonna say the mailman. Yeah,
And
that's true.
I was
Duncan.
always a
Yeah.
Barkley fan and not a Malone fan as much. But when you look at it, it's kind of hard not to put Karl Malone there. And I think I'd probably have to go with maybe the mailman as my power forward. And in my lifetime, a lot of people aren't going to agree with this, but I would put Hakeem Olajuwon as my center.
That's not a bad pick. Me personally, it's for our timeline, as far as we grew up. I'm gonna go with the with the backcourt. I'm gonna take Jordan and Magic, of course, and you gotta go Larry Legend at the three.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say Mailman at the four. And then in the center, it's hard. Between Olajuwon,
And Shaq and Duncan, it's
between
tough.
Shaq, it's hard to, if you count Dunk. Yeah, I guess you can count Duncan as a. I don't know, because he played a four for so many years when Robinson was there. Robinson's even a guy that enters the
Yeah.
equation as far as during our it, when we were
Absolutely.
being in your 30s. I don't know. That's a tough pick. I'll go with I'll go with Shaq there. I'll just say because of his raw scoring ability. Olajuwon was a little better all around,
Yeah.
but Shaq was a better pure scorer.
Yeah. So we have pretty much the same team except for the center. I mean, really, it's the
Yeah,
same team.
if I was to make a bench for that team, I'm gonna put
Yeah, let's make a
Stockton.
second team. Let me hear your
All right,
second team, second
all
five,
right. Well,
because you got to have it, because there's so many good players.
right. All right. So my second five. Let's say it's like this: Stockton at the point, Drexler at the two.
Yeah.
At the three, I'm gonna go with Dominique Wilkins.
Nice.
Okay, at the power forward spot, I'm gonna go Duncan there, and then at the center, I'm gonna go Olajuwon because I went Shaq on the first one.
Okay.
Or actually, you know what? I could let me put Bark. I could put Barkley at the three, and knock it. You know, and then here again, we're missing guys like Kobe and LeBron and Wade and everything else. But that's go ahead.
I actually have Kobe, and I would have Kobe at my two on my second team. I'll get back to the point guard in a minute. I'd have Kobe at the two. At the three, I would put Drexler. I'd be a little bit small right there. I'd put Barkley at my four, and I would put Shaq at center. Now, at point guard, wow, man, I mean.
Isaiah Stockton. Trying to think. You can go, you can go Chris Paul, or you can go. I know, I'm just saying.
Wow. Yeah, I'm thinking my lifetime, point guard. With Magic Johnson already being on my first team, I think I probably would take Isaiah Thomas. I mean, the guy was a gamer, dude. I mean, that guy was a battler, you know? No, he hasn't done so well since he stopped playing.
No, he hasn't. He was the worst coach ever.
Oh, yeah. Everything in
worst,
the
worst coach, was awful. Worst coach, yeah, and GM and everything else he was there with the Knicks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's been a lot of great players in the NBA. I mean, there has. There's been a lot of great players, but, you know, I can't stand when people say LeBron James is, you know, like Michael Jordan, and it's like, come on, man. I mean, the guy is not even anything like him. He's not even clutch like him at all. No. And he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. The guy can put up ridiculous numbers, but again, is he a championship player? I don't see it yet, you know?
Yeah, he needs to shit or get off the pot in the next couple of years, because it's coming down to where he's getting that label of, okay, you know, you're great, but you can't win. So what good are you? You know, I mean, obviously, yeah, you pack a stadium, you sell a lot of T-shirts, and, you know, but if you can't win, and you ain't getting mentioned in the same breath as the Jordans and the Kareems and all the other guys we just mentioned.
Yeah, not at all, dude, not at all. And, you know, he disappeared in the fourth quarter in the finals last year. Dallas won. You know, when you thought Miami got there, you were thinking they were going to win, and they got beat by Dallas. I thought that was a pretty big upset.
Yeah, I think so, too. It definitely was.
But now we know it's not. It's about chemistry, like we were saying, and it's about the bench.
Exactly.
You need to have a bench.
And there's a thing, a guy like Dirk Nowitzki. Now, there's another guy, too, that, you know, he's almost revolutionized his position. He got a power forward that can shoot the three, you know, can play a little bit of post defense, but for the most part, he's
a guy
more
I didn't
like,
think of. He should have got some consideration for our second teams, you know.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think about Dominique Wilkins? You know, I would probably put him as an honorable mention, but there was a guy, you know, talk about athleticism. He was unbelievable. And, you know what? There's another guy we totally left off that played during, while we were coming up was Julius Erving, Dr. J.
But I honestly, and I know some people aren't going to like this, but I, you know, he would be my shooting guard, and I would put Kobe over Dr. J.
Yeah, I would too. Kobe's the fourth star, best scorer of all time, 16 years he's been in the league. He's done it year in, year out.
Drexler and Kobe both got to play on my second team. There's no room for Dr. J. I'm sorry. I'd put Drexler over him, too. And that's not by a long shot. That's by a little. But I really like Drexler. He was really good. Drexler was money from three. Never mind Clyde the Glide. The guy could shoot the three, too. Really good. Good shooter.
You know who we missed out on our point guard consideration is Steve Nash.
I would put Isaiah ahead of him, but wow, Steve Nash. So here's a guy that won like three MVPs in a row or something.
Yeah, you know, and here's a 6 foot white guy, you know, and then here, how about this for another pure scorer, Allen I, you know,
Justin, I was not a
ball
fan.
Hog, but
if to him to get those numbers, he put up so many shots. He shot such a low percentage, and I always felt you give any of these all-stars that many shots, they're going to score that many points. I always felt with him.
Being 6 feet tall, though, you know, and being how he could, where he
yeah.
could score.
He was nasty, but I wouldn't consider him for one of my top two teams. Even if I made a third team, he wouldn't make it on it for me.
He wouldn't with me either. He's you know, when you list honorable mention, when you list, like, you know, your I'll say top
I'll tell
20.
you what, he might for defense though. He might even make the second team for defense for me. He was a really good on the ball defender.
Let's think about defense. My first team, I got to go Rodman at power forward. I'll take that as my first pick. Small forward, Ron Artest. Center, I'm going to go with Mutombo. At guards, I'm going to go with at the one. Gary Payton at the
oh
one.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then
absolutely.
At the two, you got to go maybe Jordan or Drexler. I don't know.
Yeah, I would absolutely take Jordan at the two. I would definitely take Peyton at the one. At the three, I would take Scottie Pippen. He was an excellent defender.
Yes, you're right. He was.
Absolutely take Scottie Pippen at the three. And again, at the five, I'm taking Hakeem Olajuwon. And unbelievable blocks, dude.
I think Mutombo... Oh. Mutombo gets that. I don't know. Him and Olajuwon are close there, but I think Olajuwon is a better all around player. But I think Mutombo just for defense there. Dennis Rodman, of course, one of the best defensive players ever.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. He's at the five. Absolutely. I think something that'd be a little fun, since you know we're kind of just messing around now, doing all time teams and stuff, is why don't we give out baseball all-time starting nine for guys that we've seen in our lifetime.
All right, yeah, so guys we've seen in the 80s, 90s, 2000s.
80s, 90s, and the recent, yep.
All right.
Let's go, you could go, yeah, we'll go all the positions. And,
all right, let's go. Let's,
starting pitcher.
Right,
and
we'll go right-handed starter, left-handed starter.
Okay, yeah, excellent.
For my righty starter... I'm gonna go with Pedro in his prime.
Absolutely.
And he gets a nod over Roger Clemens a little bit. And then for lefty starter, I'm gonna go Randy Johnson. What do you like for those two spots?
Well, for right-handed starter, I'm absolutely going Pedro. Early 2000s, Pedro.
Yep.
In his prime, that was like almost the best pitcher you've probably ever seen. Is
yeah,
Pedro
yeah, 97 to 02, Pedro.
Yo, absolutely, absolutely. I would say more to 03, but 03 he was really good too. The numbers didn't fall off till the next year, really. But I would take Pedro as my right hander. Justin, I mean, it's really not even close. I really can't pick anybody but Randy Johnson. I'm not trying to copy your guys, but I can't pick a lefty besides Randy Johnson for my lifetime.
Yeah.
It hasn't even been close.
No, it hasn't.
I mean,
been.
He's been so dominant. The only other guys, I mean, maybe, you know, Santana in the last few years had some dominant years. And there's really not been a guy like Randy Johnson to win all those. How many Cy Youngs did he win? He won at least like five of them.
Yeah,
he won a lot, dude.
He definitely won three or four, no matter what. So,
So that's I'd go with the same guys. I mean, I'd have to. And,
yeah,
you know, we're about the same age, and we both probably know baseball a little bit. I mean, those guys were the two most dominant guys, definitely. So why don't we do? You know, we'll split it up like we did. Why don't we just go do your outfield, and then I'll do my outfield.
All right, my outfield is got to be like this. I'll take Bonds and left. Center field, I'll take Griffey. And then in right field, I'll take, I'm thinking between Vlad Guerrero, I'm trying to think, I'm thinking all around, but let me think of more bat real quick. I don't know, go ahead with who you got. Maybe I'll... I'm trying
well,
to think.
And here's the guy you're probably missing. I would take the same two guys. I would take Bonds and Griffey, and I would take Ricky Henderson.
That's
I know
not
I got
a bad pick.
I got two left fielders, but one of them can play right. We'll put Bonds in right. Ricky will play left. Yeah, Ricky Henderson was.
How about Tony Gwynn's also not a bad bet either.
He's not, but I would much rather have Ricky in his prime as my outfielder, you know?
Yeah, and leadoff hitter. Yeah, I
hear
that.
Oh, my God, he might be the best leadoff hitter of all time.
By far, he definitely is the best leadoff hitter of all time.
Yeah,
beats out
you know what I mean?
Lou Brock, beats out everybody. All right, I'm going to say my catcher is going to be Piazza. I'm a little partial there as a Mets fan, and I know he didn't have the defense, but offensively he makes it up for it.
Yeah. Well, let me think about this one for a second. Catcher. You know, I'm trying to think of here. That's a tough one.
Mao's been spectacular
as of late.
Let's think of it. You got guys like Posada, you got guys like, I don't know, Gary Carter, Darren Dalton.
Gary Carter is one that came to mind, actually. But
he was my favorite player of all time, actually. The only reason I put Piazza ahead of him is because of the batting average difference.
I'm going to go with Joe Mauer. I really am. He's such a good hitter. He really is a great catcher, and I know it's a little early to put him there, but I think he's going to be the guy that should go there. And I'm going to go with Joe Mauer.
That's a good pick.
Why don't we go around the diamond? I'm going to mute my mic for 1 second, but I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
All right, first base. I'm going to go with Pujols. Second base, I'm going to go with talking 80s, 90s, and 2000s. Roberto Alomar possibly, but I don't know. He didn't get the nod. Let me get back to second base in a minute. Best shortstop. Who's that between probably Cal Ripken and let me punch up some.
Well, shortstop, I mean, you got A-Rod, you got Cal Ripken, you got Ozzie Smith, sure. Jeter, Tejada.
Yep.
There's a lot of guys you could put there.
I'm gonna go with Jeter there. I gotta go with him. His batting average those years was puts him over the mark, lifetime and everything. Second base, that's a tough one. I'm trying to think back to the '80s a little bit. Joe Morgan doesn't count. He's more of a '70s type player.
Yeah,
or, '70s era player. Let me think of, I don't know, you know, you really can't hurt nowadays looking at a guy like Robinson Cano, you know, but it's still early with him too. You know what? I can even put Jeff Kent up there with the numbers he put up, you know,
absolutely.
Third base, between I don't know. Mike Schmidt was a little before my time, so Mike Schmidt would probably be it if I'm going to go all, you know.
Yeah, you could take him. It means that counts. Yeah.
I'm going to say up there for third base would also be Matt Williams, Wade Boggs. And possibly A-Rod at third. You know, I don't know if you would consider him. I guess more of a shortstop.
I would have Pujols at first. I would have Pedroia at second. I would have A-Rod at shortstop, even though I can't stand the freaking guy. And I would have Wade Boggs at third.
You know,
might be some homerism in there, but whatever, dude. Boggs won the batting title like 9 years in a row.
Yeah, he did. No, yeah, but Boggs is not a bad pick, no matter what you do there. You know, the Boggs is unbelievable. You know, and that's why you got to put Clemens. You know, if say you're going with a starting five too, pitching staff, I think I would go with the two guys we already mentioned, Pedro, Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens. Then after that, I would probably go Johan. I'd like to get another lefty in there, and then I'd probably go with Roy Halladay or. Schilling in his prime was pretty good. Doc Gooden in his prime. There's a lot of guys that are iffy for that spot if you're going with a fifth starter.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think about closer of all time?
I think Eckersley.
I think
it's Eckersley.
Eckersley. I gotta go with Eckersley as well. I think that he played so well for so long, after being a starter for a good half of his career and still ended up with so many saves. If not Eckersley, I would say Lee Smith, or Jeff Reardon. I don't know. Pete Rose played in the 80s too, but he's more of a 70s guy.
I think of him as 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anyone that was on the Big Red Machine, I guess, is disqualified here.
I'd consider him 70s. And I'll tell you what, and if we get to have a DH, I would put Manny Ramirez.
Yeah, that's a possibility, unless we're sticking with a guy who's strictly a DH.
Well, he played DH for a while with us, dude. He did. He was a DH for a while there was times when he played a whole season pretty much as DH, so it's not like he played a few games there.
Yeah, what'd you do with Big Poppy? I mean, I know he was there like a year or two before Poppy, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, if we're going to have a conversation of who's the best DH of all time, obviously Manny doesn't come into it because he's been an outfielder more than a DH. But if you let me have a DH for all time,
yeah,
I'm going to put Manny there over Poppy. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Yeah, definitely.
He's a better hitter. He's a better hitter.
Manny by far is, lifetime numbers is a better hitter than Big Poppy all day.
He's better than just about everybody besides Bonds.
Yeah, I agree. You got to wonder, too. I mean, you have guys like McGuire, but like we said last time, obviously not only the PEDs, but the fact that he had those jumbled years and wasn't really a batting average guy. I think Pujols is definitely, no matter what, first base.
Pujols might go down as the best player of all time when it's all said and done.
I think so, too. I mean, it's hard to take away from guys like Willie Mays and Babe Ruth and, guys like that. But, the guy's just done it year in and year out.
What he's done since he's come in the league has been amazing, dude.
Totally. Totally. I agree.
Absolutely amazing. I'd say why don't we go like another 10 minutes and then wrap it up. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good. You know what? Let's do an NFL team real quick.
Okay.
My lifetime. I'm gonna start here. I'm gonna start with running back and say Barry Sanders is my running back of all time, or at least of our lifetime. He's my tailback, and my fullback is Darryl Johnson.
Yeah, I can't disagree with either of those. I would definitely take Barry Sanders and
or Tom Rathman as a fullback.
The Moose was nasty.
Yeah, he was. Darryl Johnson was.
I'd probably have to go with the Moose, too, as a fullback. I really would. He was nasty.
Or Mike Allstott. For guys that ran the ball, Mike Allstott.
Yeah, Allstott. Really good.
For wideouts, I'm going to go, obviously, Jerry Rice. And then on the let's say we pick three wideouts. I'm going to go Jerry Rice, Art Monk, and... I'll say Chris Carter.
All right. I'm going to go with Jerry Rice, Michael Irvin.
Good pick.
Oh.
Sterling, you had guys like Sterling Sharp, you had guys like Andre Rison and
I'm thinking if I want to take
Moss.
Randy Moss, I'm thinking it Walker. Might be Randy Moss.
Yeah, Moss.
I would probably take Randy Moss, Michael Irvin, and Jerry Rice would probably be my three receivers.
Yeah, it's not a bad lineup.
That's not bad at all, dude.
All right, tight end. I'm gonna go Tony Gonzalez, just for a nod over my man. Mark Bavaro. Mark Bavaro is only mentioned because I'm a homer, but I'm going to say Gonzalez is my tight end for what he's done year in and year out.
Yeah, I would I'd probably have to go with Antonio Gates.
That's a good pick, though.
Yeah.
They're
He's
gonna
such an
be neck
athlete,
and neck.
man. I mean,
Yes.
he's awesome, dude. He is awesome. That's who I
Yeah.
take for tight end.
All right.
Go ahead.
For O line, it's you know, let's it we really can't go individual. It's kind of hard to go individual, but let's go
Yeah, I don't know too many
small.
offensive linemen.
Right. So let's go units then. Let's go, and I gotta say, one unit would be the Cowboys unit
Cowboys,
of
yeah.
the early 90s, the Redskins of the late 80s. You know, with it, they had Lachey and Mark Schlereth. You know, they were known as the Hogs. I don't know. Hey, the Giants had a good line back then too, with Bart Oates and Jumbo Elliott and all those guys. I don't know. I'm gonna say that
I'd go
Cowboys
with the
line.
Cowboys, dude,
Yeah,
because I think that's
Stefanski.
such a huge reason why Emmitt Smith had so many yards, because I think
Exactly.
it was much to do with the line. Not that he's a bad player, but I think he was the benefit of a very, very, very good line.
You know, I can actually name that line right now too. You got center was Mark Stefanski. Guards were Nate Newton. And there's a few different guys that popped in and out, but Mark Tuimoni was a tackle, and Eric Williams was a tackle. I forget who, I don't know who the other guard was, is inconsequential right now, you know. But all right, let's go
Why don't
defense.
we wait, whoa, hold on. Quarterback.
Oh yeah,
Pick
there we go,
why
quarterback.
don't we pick your top three in order?
All right, top three in order. I'm gonna
Yep,
go
number one,
with
two, and three.
Elway, Favre, Brady.
I would have to go. I would have to go with Brady, Elway, and Montana.
Yeah, you got to think of Montana for all the everything he won, but I just think you know the other guys passing wise were a little bit more of a skill set.
Elway could run too.
Yeah, he could.
And I think you can't. I don't buy into the penalizing guys' legacies because they lost Super Bowls. Look at all the teams that didn't get there. So, because Brady
Exactly.
keeps like when Brady lost, and people are trying to say, "Oh, well, Montana never lost a Super Bowl." Okay, well, Brady
Right.
keeps bringing his team in. Montana was losing his starting job at 32. So
Right,
let's talk
exactly.
about that for a minute. Brady's 34.
Right.
Could you imagine him losing his starting job right now? No.
No, it ain't
I
gonna
think
happen.
Elway was awesome, and I remember Elway a lot, even though we were little, because I watched,
Oh yeah.
Denver won those Super Bowls with Terrell Davis and Elway. I was a
Yep.
big fan of those teams. They were really good.
And
Shannon
that
Sharp.
was and that and that was towards the end of Elway, 'cause you know early on
That
when
was like
he
his last 2 years. He
Right.
retired after that.
Yeah,
He went out a
he
champ.
retired still on top. Aikman was another guy too that left
Oh,
before he
absolutely.
chance to embarrass himself. Let's go. I'm gonna go D line here. I'm gonna go with Strahan at one defensive end.
Yeah.
Okay. My other defensive end is going to be Reggie White, the Minister of Defense.
Yep.
Bruce Smith.
You still there? I was losing you for a second. Justin?
And Sapp and I'm trying to think of I don't know you know maybe a
Dwight
guy like
Freedy, how about him?
well he's an end you
Oh,
can't
all right.
put
You're talking in the middle.
yeah in the middle
Yeah, I think Warren Sapp's a guy. I might be a homer here, but I would take Will Fork. I mean,
Fork
he's awesome.
had a great year. He did.
He's had more than just this year too. He's had some really good years. I would take Strahan too.
Oh yeah, as in that, yeah, Strahan, Reggie White, Bruce
I
Smith.
don't know how you go against Bruce Smith either. Yeah, he was awesome.
Well, because I go Strahan and Reggie White is one and two, and then Bruce Smith
Yeah.
is, you know, and
Yeah.
then all right,
My
line.
corners. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, would you want to name another guy, another D lineman?
No. Go ahead. Go to your next spot.
My linebackers, I'm gonna go with out on the outside. I'm gonna go with L Lawrence Taylor and Derek Thomas on the outsides. And then my middle linebackers are going to be I'm gonna go with Urlacher. And I'm gonna go with Mike Singletary or Chris Spielman.
All right.
I don't know. I think those are all good picks there.
I would go with Ray Lewis, Urlacher,
Yes, it's not bad.
LT, and a fourth one.
Derek Thomas is gotta be a
Yeah,
guy mentioned.
he probably would be. It'd be Derek Thomas, Ray Lewis, Urlacher, and LT. There were a few years where Urlacher was just ridiculous, like how fast he was. I mean, you hadn't seen anything like that in so long.
Well, oh, you know, another guy we missed, Derek Brooks, belongs on that list
Yep.
too. All right, D backs. I'm gonna go with my safeties are gonna be Ronnie Lott and Steve Atwater.
Yep.
And then my corners are gonna be, I'm gonna go with Neon Dion. And I'm going to go with Rod Woodson. And as a backup, I'm going with Charles Woodson. And
All right.
Aeneas Williams, another possible backup.
I would go with Charles Woodson and Deion Sanders as my corners. I'd have Ty Law as a backup.
It's not a
And my
backup. Not
safeties
a
would be Loya Malloy and Ed Reed.
Ooh, that's good too. Yeah. Well, but how do you, I don't know, Atwater and Lott are two elites at those spots though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They are. I was pretty young when Lott was playing and didn't really see him too much, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but
They would be ahead of Malloy, definitely. That's a pretty homer move
yeah,
to me right
Lawyer
there.
Malloy did have a great career though. I will say
Yeah,
that.
he
You
did.
know, Lawyer
He
Malloy
was.
had a hell of a career. Another couple of guys that I think that we're gonna see on those lists soon for linebackers. Patrick Willis is up there. For D linemen, I think Tuck and Pierre Paul are both the stars. The sky's the limit. Especially with Pierre Paul. Tuck has kind of, shown everything he can do. I think, he had a bad year this year for the Lions, but Dumekong Su, I think he's gonna be a great player, kind of like Sapp, kind of same skill set. There's a lot of great athletes nowadays in football. You remember the guy Chuck Cecil from the Cardinals, white guy used to hit like he's got a million penalties for hitting, but you know who else was pretty good actually? Before he died was Pat Tillman. Pat Tillman was had 130 something tackles. Just
Wow.
too bad he didn't get to play more years.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's
I'm gonna get
all.
Pat Tillman's stats. Pat Tillman's stats were unbelievable in the three years or so he got to play.
Wow. That's pretty good, man. But yeah, I think you any way you go with any one of those lineups, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, right.
You're doing pretty
If
good.
you're getting anyone in any of those molds of those guys, I think you're all right. Also, to another couple D linemen I left out was Charles Haley and Chris Dolman, Jared Allen as well too playing
Oh
now.
yeah, Jared Allen, he's a hard one to
Yep.
leave out. He's
So I
been
mean,
so good.
a lot of these, it's really tough. Another inside linebacker is Ken Norton. Ken Norton had a great career too. One of few because he was with he won one with the Niners and one with the Cowboys too. So I mean it's there's a lot of these guys that won it at different spots and had great careers. So I don't know. I guess it's hard. Oh my! All right, let's do real quick, kicker, punter, and kick returner, and then although and also too, I want to bring up my tight end. I want to change it to Shannon Sharp from Tony Gonzalez. But my kicker would have to be I'm gonna go with Vinatieri. And then my punter would be Reggie Roby.
All right. I would take Leckler as my punter and Vinatieri as my kicker and as my kick returner. I'd probably have to go with Devin Hester. I mean, he's been the best that I've seen.
Yeah. Hester's good. I'm gonna go with, well, since we're young, Mel Gray in the, of the 80s, and then since then, I would have to say Hester, because no one else has really had the amount of years that Hester has returning as as good as he has. The year I was talking about, Pat Tillman played 4 years in the league. In 2000, he had 144 tackles, 107 solos, 37 assists, and then the year after that, he only played in 12 games, had 92 tackles in 12 games. So I mean, this guy that they killed, would have been up there. But anyway, that's neither here or there. But I just wanted to give you those stats.
What a good guy, though, for at least, putting aside his
Oh,
NFL
man.
career and trying to go and do what he thought was the right thing. You know what I mean?
That's a true hero right there. And the fact is, what he did over there, the fact that he stood up for what he thought was right. You can't think a guy like Pat Tillman's got to be a hero in anyone's eyes. I don't care who you are.
Absolutely. I think we're going to pretty much wrap it up in a minute. You got anything else you want to touch on before we do?
No, that's pretty much for tonight.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, I want to thank everybody for listening. And obviously, we'll be back again doing another sports show whenever in a week or two, whatever. When we do, we'll let you guys know. We'll put it up on the website and on Facebook and Twitter and all that nonsense so everybody can hear about it. And yeah, you can always find this show in our archive. I'm sure you've already found it there if you're listening to it on the replay. So, whatever you can do to share it, we'd love for you to do that. And
Hey,
I don't.
call in too. We like the interaction. Call in and say what you think, whether for naming lineups or doing whatever, something we missed. Hey, we're just fans. Call us up and let us know, and add your input.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Absolutely. And yeah, check our sports page once in a while. We got some good stuff up there. It's kind of like a little quick one stop, so you don't have to keep checking like, ESPN, CBS, this, that, and the other thing. You can kind of come there. We have a scoreboard that's really cool. If you want to click on any game, you don't have to wait for the ticker to come around. You can click an arrow, go right to the game that you want. And if you click on it, it'll open up a whole ESPN stats page with all types of, everything that you would get, like when you go to look at the in-depth stats of a game, just instantly, like right off the scoreboard. So you guys should check it out once in a while. We have a comment wall if you want to drop a comment. I do check those comments periodically during the show. So if you guys leave a comment on the comment wall, they update in real time. It's almost like a chat. So, I mean, we can kind of interact with you guys in that way too. Besides that, I just want to thank Justin for coming on again, for doing the sports talk show with me. It's been kind of a little thing that we've been doing. It's been a nice little. It's been good. I've liked it. I could go on for a long time, man, if my dog will let me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, man, I've always loved sports. Can talk until the dogs come home. So, but it was good having good being on with you, Brian. And we'll check out our regular shows and our blogs, and we'll be back at you. And that's it for me.
All right, thanks, Justin. And oh, one more thing I did want to mention, guys, is sooner or later we're gonna open up a sports blog. So when I do have something regarding sports and I write a column about it or whatever, it'll be in our sports blog page, which we don't have set up yet. But we do have a forum set up. There's a members forum on in the realnewsonline.com, and we do have our serious stuff on there, but there is a sports topic area. So if you just click on that and go right to the sports. We just opened it. Feel free to start a topic about anything you want related sports. And besides that, that's about all, guys. For Justin Cook, I'm Brian Stavely, and we are out of here.
I fly with the stars in the skies. I am no longer trying to survive. I believe that life is a prize, but to live doesn't mean you're alive. Don't worry about me and who I fire. I get what I desire, it's my empire. And yes, I call the shots, I am the umpire. I sprinkle holy water upon the vampire. In this very moment, I'm king. In this very moment, I slay Goliath with a sling. This very moment, I bring, put it on everything, that I will retire with the ring. And I will retire with the crown. Yes, no, I'm not lucky, I'm blessed. Yes, clap for the heavyweight champ, me. But I couldn't do it all alone. We, Young Money raised me, grew up out in Paisley, Southside Jamaica, Queens, and it's crazy. Cause I'm still hood, Hollywood couldn't change me. Shout out to my haters, sorry that you couldn't faze me. Ain't being cocky, we just vindicated. Best believe that when we done, this moment will be syndicated. I don't know, this night just remind me of everything they deprived me of. Put your drinks up, it's a celebration every time we link up. We done did everything they could think of. Greatness is what we wanna bring up.